said to her, I'm in trouble and pain, every day's the same, I need help from you. She said to him, set your sail towards home, for the light I shine is reflecting you. And he sailed o'er the sea with the sun in the sky, and the moon came round and the clouds rolled by. Every day he looked out, set his heart on her, lighten up my mind, purify my soul. I call to you, amazing grace, lay these burdens down before you. See all of me, all of me, all of me, all of me, oh. He said out loud, I want you to be my lighthouse, guiding me home and free. In the darkest night, I can look towards you, find comfort in the light. The reply he heard is, the light I shine is reflecting the light of you all the time. The light of me is the glory of you. If I'm a lighthouse, you're a lighthouse too. I call to you, amazing grace, lay these burdens down before you. See all of me, all of me, all of me, all of me.
I'll smile, I know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Keep my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm doing
every person is surrounded by vibrations. The body is made up of organs, and organs are made up of molecules, and molecules are made up of atoms, electrons and protons, and the interconnecting thing present in the atom is light. In fact, it is the light in different states which take form. Light can be gas, the light can be liquid light, solid light. So that what you see as solid particles, for example, this duster, this is also solid light. It's a moving mass of energy. So also all liquids, for example water. Water is nothing but liquid light. So when you remember that whilst bathing or drinking water, if you are not drinking water, you are drinking light. You are pouring light over the system. And light, as you know, gas form as light. So we are beings of light and beings of energy. We are assembly of energy balls. To move into spirituality is to talk the language of light, vibration, frequency, energy. Sometimes you feel low energy, sometimes you feel high energy. When you are in a low state of energy, you feel restless and body conscious. When you are in the high energy, you feel soul conscious and very calm. The shift in the consciousness, it is soul consciousness and body consciousness. There is no such thing as a clear-cut demarcation that this is soul consciousness and this is body consciousness. Rather, this is a spectrum. Sometimes you are more soul conscious, medium, or keep on coming down, down, down. Where the body conscious starts, consciousness, it's difficult to say. Because you go in body conscious, again you come to soul. And this entire thing depends upon what you are eating. That is the one most important factor. You put low vibration food in the system. Now the whole body is busy in ingesting, digesting and eliminating that thing. 90% energy goes in that. And when the energy goes down, the energy reduces and the old sanskars emerge. You have seen the pictures of saints, avatars, incarnations, Tirthankars, Buddhas. Their head has got something globule. It is known as halo. It's known as halo. The halo is emerging from the subtle body, ethereal body. Probably in golden age, every deity was having this halo. And other deities could see that halo. Rather, only when you see your own subtle body, you can see the subtle body of other person. So probably in golden age, in silver age, every deity could see other person's halo because they themselves would feel as if they are full of light. Nowadays, people do see halos, but then they have to make practice. There is a training to see the aura. Some can see, some cannot. When you can see your own aura, that time only you can see other person's aura. An aura gets blocked by negative thinking, by vices, by dense food, by sinful activities. It reduces. So, it is just the change in the frequency. It is the energy. Energy is changing frequency. The energy which is there in this duster, the energy in this pen has changed. The same energy is here, it has changed. And the same energy is in the body, it has changed. And the same energy is in the soul. So body and soul are not two different things, they are the one unit. Something higher, vibrating at a high rate is soul. Something which is vibrating at lower rate is body. If you can raise the vibrations of the body, these two can match. And you will feel bodilessness. Body is not there. So the entire game is about energy. Energy activation. Energy cultivation. Energy consciousness. Energy you can feel, you can transmit. Energy can transform from one form to another form. See, this entire process of spirituality is nothing but ascension of energy. It's climbing into the multidimensional aspect of our being. So pranic living is all about that. It's not about fasting. It's not about juices. It's not about raw. It's not about food at all. That's a very minimal, a very small side effect. That you come to CR, calorie restriction. And with minimal amount of food, you maintain very high energy. So why this pranic living? Or rather, what are the advantages? Without advantage, why we should do anything? Business is business. So we will see about 10 different reasons for this new mode of living, where there is no suppression, but flowering of consciousness. You move towards higher dimension, and the journey is very, very slow. And there is no question of fall. There is no question of guilt consciousness here. While in the path of all those which people do, change of diet and all that, they suffer, keep on suffering from guilt consciousness. One day they will take healthy, the next day. There was a lady who did a long fast. And then she broke her fast with non-veg food and binge. And she died. So all those things happen there. But this is the path of freedom. This is a different. So the first advantage is there are 10 things we will see. Man in the natural state. Man in the natural state. Natural state. He requires very less things. And here, we come to the start of this world cycle, golden age and silver age. When the man first of all descended on this earth, he did not need anything. Nothing. He ate for pleasure, for joy. There was no need of digital devices. They could communicate with mind. He was a superman, highly advanced man. Wireless communication. He could fly, maybe, with his aeroplanes. He did not need anything. He was so perfect. The body was perfect. The soul was perfect and body was perfect. That was the deity. Perfect body. And then he started putting things into it. And anything which was put into this perfect system did nothing but making it less perfect. And we called it civilization. That we are advancing. Brahmacharyanism is physical perfection. Man doesn't need anything except the breath of life. That's it. And then he started introducing things into it. Rainwater, water, fruits, and the deterioration started gradually. So there is a difference in Golden Age and Silver Age. In the age. Why? What is the age of Golden Age and what is the average age expectancy in Silver Age? There is a difference. Why this difference happened? Have they done any vikarmas? No. Then? What is the transition thing? They were living for 150 or 200 years and now they are living for 125 to 150 years. Why? Have they started performing sinful activities? In Golden Age and Silver Age, by the end of the Golden Age, is there a mention of sinful activities? Or sin, pap, wrong deeds, unrighteous deeds? So what happened? Rebirth, so what? Why the rebirth will reduce the number of years you live? He started consuming food and drinking liquids. He became the consumer of food and drinker of liquids. And that led to the deterioration. So deterioration started not in the copper age. Deterioration has started from day one. The battery is 100%. The moment you remove from the charger, from that very moment the deterioration starts. Though they are not performing any vikarmas, but the deterioration has already started. It's a law of entropy. Third law of entropy. The thing is kept and it starts becoming old. From the time it is purchased, it is manufactured and the very moment it has started becoming old. Though it may appear new for some time. So, man in the natural state is in the state of inidia. Man in the natural state is in the state of inidia. They were inidiates. Inidia means non-eating. Pranic livers. Perfect Brahmacharyan lifestyle. They ate. Yeah, they do eat. But they don't eat for need. They eat for enjoyment. They eat for enjoyment. The body doesn't need anything. Body is so perfect. Body is the self-regulating mechanism. Body has self-healing mechanism. Body is self-healing, self-regulating, self-maintaining, self-sustaining. It doesn't need anything. People say that we ate this fruit and because of this we become healthy. We eat this and we become healthy. You never become healthy by eating anything. Nothing happens rather by eating anything or not eating. It is only the moment you stop the toxins to enter the system, healing starts. Why that a person is sick and is denied food and he starts getting better? Why? Because you stop the entry of toxins. So that is the first reason. This is our original nature. This is our original nature. We are pure beings. Beings of light. First. Second reason. So, in the natural state, we don't need anything. We become perfect. But the period which is required for deterioration is 5000 years. So, suddenly you cannot become deity in overnight. If you try, you will end up in hospital with dehydration, starvation, deterioration and death. The deterioration has happened gradually. So, you have to go back to your original state very gradually by reducing the intake of all the nonsensical things which you are putting into the system. The more the processed, the more the cooked, the more the baked, boiled, steamed, anything which is disturbed, it loses its sattva. And so first reason is, man in the natural state was, he did not require. So that is our original state. So you have to go back to it. One. Second reason is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth does not require that you make any modification in food. But yes, when it is made, the spiritual growth becomes fast. Because spirituality is nothing but to feel more of soul and less of body. And if this is soul and this is body, food is the greatest and the strongest and the highest link between these two. Unless and until you do something with this, you cannot become soul conscious. Simply by saying that we don't eat food made by this person and that person because they are not in Gyan cannot make you soul conscious. Earlier, you used to eat from the hotels and the outside food. Then you say that we have stopped eating from there. But then you have created all hotels and restaurants and all the recipes here. Rather much, much heavier and spicier than what they used to eat before. So you have created the entire new world of Maya here. But then, that is a good transition. But then life is a series of transition. You do not stop at KG1, KG2 or 3rd standard, 4th standard. Now you have to go ahead. If you are past 10th, now you have to take admission in 11th, 12th, then graduation and then post-graduation. You cannot say, okay, I am happy in 5th standard all the time. Now move ahead. So spiritual growth will become very fast. The moment you make small modification. In Buddhism, the rule for monks is not to eat after 12 noon. The last food is at 11. After 12, nothing. So also in Jain philosophy, if you see DBS, dinner before sunset. The moment the sun sets, the fire of digestion slow down and digestion process cannot take place. So moment the sunset happens, nothing should enter the system, no food, no water. Anhydrous, Hebrew, dry fast. Because if you try to put, then you cannot get up early in the morning. Then you can't do morning meditation. With the food in the system which is undigested and rotting, how can you climb? How can the soul climb? You cannot move out of the body. You can only talk with Baba, that's it. You are this and you are that. You cannot become body conscious, soul conscious. Spirituality is not just about chit-chatting with God. It is to do the work which He has told us to do. He has taught us spiritual drills. If you keep on saying to a teacher, "Oh teacher, you are so good, I love you, you are so good, I will write letters to you." And teacher is coming in the class and he's teaching, 1, 2, 3, do this. No, you say, "No teacher, I cannot do this. I can love you. Give me your bag, I'll carry. I'll move with you, I'll talk with you, I'll chit-chat with you." Will the teacher be happy? Teacher has given you a task to do. He is the master teacher. You are not doing that. He has taught these drills. Because the moment you start drills, you start feeling sleepy. Because with that heavy food in the system, how can you practice those drills? You can write a letter to him. "I miss you and I love you." That much you can do. That's very easy. That's a bhakti. But he has taught. He is a teacher. Don't forget that. A father, you can have all loving relations and you can take blessings from the guru. That's fine. But he has a purpose of coming. He taught a study. And study, you have to be very serious for studying. You have to sit and study. You cannot bring relationships in studies. Even if some teacher's son is there, he has to study, otherwise he will fail. So here also he is a teacher, a very strict teacher. And the teacher teaches things, you do it. If you don't do, you will fail. No matter you write love letters to me, I am not going to pass you. So second reason for pranic living is spiritual growth. Third, freedom. You are free. You are free from so many things. And the greatest bondage is to keep on thinking about food. At Amrit Vela only people start planning their breakfast. And after breakfast, they are busy in planning their lunch. And after lunch, they are busy in planning evening snacks and picnic. And at picnic, they are busy in planning their dinner. So they are preoccupied with food all the time. Only this preoccupation is disturbed by in between meditations, which they have to do unnecessarily. So freedom, you are free. You understand the freedom, you understand or you experience the freedom. That's a major reason for this pranic living. And who doesn't love freedom? You are not bound to anything now. And you don't need anything. Next, economy. So much things are saved. You know, why we are doing everything? Why we earn money? For eating. Otherwise we'll die. So this earning thing, running after money, economy, financial, purchasing, buying, so many things. Everything is about economy. So you will save money. And then you purchase so many things and you prepare so many things and gas and consumption of so many ingredients. And then you put everything into the system and then you fall sick. All the arteries blocked and your stomach upset. And then you start visiting doctors. And then again you purchase a huge lot of medicine and you create a pharmacy in your house and you consume. And with their side effects. And very low level of energy. What is our relationship with drugs? That's a good topic to churn. With medications. It is not just food. Two things we consume. Food and medicines. We have some relationships with them. Are medicines very high vibrational food or low vibrational? Now you have to decide. What is it? So freedom, ecology, economy. The fifth is ecology. So much waste and so much garbage. The earth is turned into a dustbin because of the food garbage. So much plastics and garbage and so on and so on. You can see the statistical records. How much garbage is created. Every day so much waste is created because of food. And we just throw and the associated illnesses, environmental pollution, water pollution, air pollution, so much. Go into the kitchen and you see the flames everywhere. And the walls become black, full of soot. Next, health. Pranic living is about achieving perfection in health. You never fall sick. How beautiful thing it is. You never suffer from any aches, pains, chills, cold, fever, any diseases, sicknesses, illnesses, diarrhea and vomitings, nothing. You're free from everything. And you are not doing anything, you are naturally become free, automatic. And when you are not sick, why will you consume anything? So perfect health. Next, creativity. Your mind becomes extremely creative. Now you have so much time, you can think, and your thinking becomes very sharp. You have so much time to do. You can engage your mind in gardening and writing and book and reading books, writing books, creative habits, thinking, churning, revising, doing all the works which earlier you don't have time because the moment you eat, you feel lazy and you want to sleep. Trayopasana, eating, drinking and sleeping. These are the three types of upasanas people are engaged in. Next, life energy. Life energy increases. Otherwise, 90% of the energy goes in ingesting and throwing it out. So life energy increases. Next, regeneration. Your body regenerates, new life, age increases. And last, curiosity. You can try this just as a part of curiosity. Let me see what happens if I do this. Or go with a very open mind and see. If it works, it's fine. If it doesn't, throw it away. So pranic living is about all these things. So today we are into the day 11 into this pranic journey. This is just the background which is getting created. We are just creating the background. We have yet not begun the journey. These are the different aspects. First, to debunk the myths associated with it. Because people get terrified and afraid. Oh, what is this? So it is not something coming from outside planet. This is our basic nature. Tomorrow we'll take some other aspect of pranic living. Om Shanti.
Tvameva mata chapita tvameva tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. Hills and valleys and mountains make me feel one with nature. Deep in the woods I feel I'm alive. Deep in the woods I feel I'm alive. Hills and valleys and mountains make me feel I'm alive. Deep in the woods, I feel I'm alive. Deep in the woods, I feel I'm alive. Deep in the woods, I feel I'm alive.